Hello, I'm Alan O'Donoghue. I'm a teacher of computing at Our Lady's Catholic High School. That's in Preston in Lancashire, way up in the north of England. Each week I record one of these podcasts after teaching my class, my year 10 GCSE computing class. Some weeks we have two lessons and other weeks we have three. And this week we had three lessons and that was on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. And it's now Friday afternoon and I'm just getting ready to go home. But I thought I'd record a few thoughts, some of my memories from teaching the class this week. Now, in any way, I don't profess to be an expert. And I was just confused then because I should really say in no way am I professing to be an expert. But what I am doing is I'm recording my thoughts and I'm hoping that some people will benefit from that if they're teaching a GCSE class or about to embark on teaching one. And my other hope is that people will listen to this and think, oh, that's an interesting way of doing it, and maybe open a dialogue with me over it or make some suggestions. And I do sometimes even make mistakes and people will email me or tweet me and say, by the way, when you said this, you actually meant the other thing, and that's really helpful. So let's get stuck into it. So Monday, the 7th of January, it was our first lesson back after the it was just a Christmas holiday. And one of the things I noticed that the Sunday beforehand, I was reading tweets and things online, and I saw this picture, a photograph of a piece of computer hardware being shipped onto a plane. I think I'll include the picture with this podcast. And I decided at the beginning of the lesson to show the children the image and said, right, what I want you to do is I want you to look at this picture and I want you to think for a moment what you think it is, when you think it is, what's going on and all of this. So they had to think. Then they had to talk to the person that they were sat next to for, I don't know, 20 seconds or so. It was like, what are your ideas about what it might be? And then I asked them to stop. And then I said, now, what I want to find out now is what's absolutely certain? What can we definitely tell? So we were able to see, yes, there's an airplane. Yes, there's a pilot. There's a forklift truck. So therefore, this thing must be heavy. And eventually, we got towards the point that it was, it says IBM in one corner as well. But then I shared with them, it's a 1956 photograph. And it's a hard disk, a 5 megabyte hard disk. And it's possibly about the same size as a mini car. And we just had some discussion, like, why would they be shipping that or flying it? And how big was that? And what could you store on it? And how many songs? Like, you could just about, at a touch, store a piece of music on one of those, like an MP3. This podcast is probably going to be longer than you'd be able to store on a 5 megabyte hard disk. That's frightening, isn't it? So that was the first part of the lesson. Then I told them that over Christmas, I'd been doing a little bit more programming at home, and I'd been reading books and all this sort of thing, and I'd been looking at lists. And then on Christmas Day, somebody said, are you hungry? Oh, this is in the Christmas Day in the evening after we've eaten, when nobody's hungry. But somebody says, oh, I'm hungry. Anybody fancy anything? So I showed how you could create a list in Python where you put a number of items in the list. So in the list, I put Christmas pudding, Christmas cake, turkey sandwich, mince pie. So we made a list in that way. And in Python, you can type a name for the list. So I just called it food equals open square bracket, open quote. And then it was Christmas cake, close quote, comma, and so on. You populate your list with strings in this example and then close it with a square bracket. Also, I showed, so I'm doing this in front of the class and I'm typing it and showing them the code. I imported the random module and I explained that this is a really useful thing to use from time to time when computers are very great at being predictable, but they're not so great at being unpredictable, like guessing things or making things up. So the random module has some code in it. And we talked a little bit about how you could possibly create something that would be random. And somebody came up with a great idea, which would be to measure something within the computer that might change from time to time, like the temperature. And I thought that was a really good answer. The next line of the program has selection. So we had the word selection. So we're assigning selection a variable to say equals random dot choice and then open brackets, and we had food in the brackets. And then we were going to print selection. So we had four lines, and I showed them that it worked, and I ran it three or four times. It kept saying Christmas cake, and then on the fourth time, it said mince pie. So it proved that it was random. So the next thing I did was I decided to put them into pairs. Now there's 26, I think, in this class. I've forgotten that. 23, 26, something like that. So the way I did it was I went around the room and I realized, so if we've got 26, then we need 13 pairs. So the children had to give me their number. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And when I got to 13, we start all over again. I said, right, okay, 1s, you come over here. 2s, you go over there. 13s, you come into this corner over here. So they're in pairs. People that are not, they don't normally work with. And there was two lads who were put together, and you could tell they really weren't that happy about it. But, well, hey, it's Monday morning. Just get on with it and do it. So when they were in their pairs, I should have really told them before I put them in the pairs what to do. But I then asked them to take the piece of code that I was showing them on the board that worked, and they could see that it worked, but to use that as the foundation for a game that they were going to build. So they had to turn it into some sort of a game. Maybe we have to guess something or try and match the guess or something like that. So off they went. Now, some of them decided they were going to do like a heads-tails type game where it was like a coin toss or a coin flip, and you had to try and predict. And if you said heads and it was heads, then you scored a point. So that's what one group were doing. Another pair, some pairs started thinking about rock, paper, scissors. And I kind of helped that move along a little bit. There was another pair were doing numbers of a dice. So when you roll the dice, it would say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. And we talked about how you could have different sided dice. So you could have like a 12-sided dice or a 3-sided dice. I don't know if such a thing is possible. No, probably not a 3-sided dice, but you could certainly have a 4-sided dice. And then we got towards the end of the lesson, and we had a look at what some of these looked like. So we had the show and tell. And what we observed was in most of them, the random thing, it just did it straight away, and there was no such of suspense. As soon as you tested the program, it came up the answer. But one pair in particular, they'd imported the time module, and they'd incorporated a time delay so that when you said, it said, do you think it's going to be heads or tails? It said, tossing coin. It was a 5-second delay, and then it would say, tails, you win or you lose or whatever. So then I set them some homework. And I was thinking ahead to what I'd got planned for the next lesson. So I asked them to bring in some removable storage, like a USB memory stick, a removable hard disk, or they could set themselves up a Dropbox account or SkyDrive or one of these, because they were going to need that. And also, in addition to all of that, they had to write out on a piece of paper, either by hand or on a computer program that would run a rock, paper, scissors type game. So that was Monday. Then the next lesson, on Tuesday, this was a totally different lesson altogether. So I'd explained to them how I was kind of getting fed up that every Monday lesson, we were doing a lesson on Monday where it was all about theory, and we didn't really... Oh, I'm just getting out of my chair. I've noticed somebody's left a pair of glasses behind. They'll be wondering where they are. Sorry, I got distracted. So on Monday... we normally have like a theory lesson, and I'm getting a bit fed up with the way that was going. I wanted to do a change. So Tuesday, I said, we're going to set you up now for the rest of this half term. They're going on work experience in February. So I gave them all their homeworks now for the rest of this half term. Okay, that's only 5 weeks. Or 5 homeworks. So, and I've given them page numbers. I said, just write these in your book. Page number 1 to 2.5, 2.52. Listen to me, a proper computing teacher. Page number 2.5. And there isn't a 2.5. It just meant halfway down page 3. But anyway. So they've written all these in their books. And then I gave them some brand new exercise books. So they said, why have we got 2 exercise books? Ah, that's because today we're going to start using your these exercise books for homework. So... I got them to practice the homework in the class. So here's the book. You need to. I've given them an electronic copy of the exercise book. So they're having to read the page numbers in class, and then without talking, because they're doing this at home, so there's nobody to talk to. They then had to convert and explain what they'd read in the book into a memory map, and I showed them some examples of how. I'd been playing with these non-transitive dice on the train down to London at Christmas, and I was reading some things on a leaflet, and I was finding it really difficult to remember and retain and understand it. So I created a memory map, and I showed them an example of this. So I showed them example and other examples, and then I said, right, go for it. So in silence, they had to read the book, and they, in their exercise book, they then had to create a memory map. So this, I mean, it was quite nice because we had about 20 minutes or so of silence while they were doing this in their books. So I explained exactly how I want, and as I was going around, I checked their books, and I said, like, that's great, that's exactly what I want. Oh, no, no, no. So there was one child who was literally just copying the information out of the book word for word, and I said, no, that's not what I want you to do. So I was able to correct them as I was going around. And I'm just seeing... That was pretty much it for that lesson. It was all about setting the books up. So I said to them, on the 30th of January, we're going to have a test. And by then, you'll have done all these homeworks. Now, I know some of them are not so great at doing homeworks, but we just have... This is the way we're going to do it. So... Each night now, between now and the 28th of January, they've got some pages that they need to read for homework. They know how to set it out in the exercise book that they've taken home. We called that the homework book. And now I'm going to write a test for them for the 30th of January. And in that lesson, which is the last lesson before their work experience, they'll do a test. And I think this one, because it's quite important, I'll take this home and I'll mark this myself rather than letting them mark it, peer mark. What will happen on the 30th? Well, I imagine the results, they could show for certain questions a low response. So that could be that they're going to need some help with that particular topic. So I'll mark that out as something that we need to spend a bit more time on in class, that the book's not helping enough with that. If I find in certain individuals are not doing as well, well... The immediate suspect is that that could be that they're not doing their homework. And what I've said is that anybody who's not doing their homework and the test will show that, then we're going to have to arrange for some extra lessons after school to support them. And I'm sincere in saying that I'm going to do those because I know I need to. So that was Tuesday's lesson. And then Wednesday. So Wednesday, if you remember, we had pairs. I set pairs up in Monday's lesson. So I decided we were going to have a coding dojo for Wednesday's lesson. But before we went into that, I asked them to take their planners out. And on the back of their planners, they have a white cover, which you can use as a makeshift whiteboard. And I gave out my whiteboard pens. Now, on Wednesday, I was a bit concerned that they perhaps hadn't quite grasped what I wanted them to do for the homework. So I said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about the points I was trying to make yesterday about what the homework is and what's happening on the 30th of January. So think about it first of all. Now, the person you sat next to, just spend a few seconds talking to them to make sure that you understand what they understand and all this sort of thing. And then after that, I said, stop. Now what I want you to do is I want you to think of three words, just three, that summarize quite neatly what it is I'm asking you to do for homework. So they have to write the three words down on the back of their planner. And then they all held their planners up. So there's like show me boards. And a lot of people had said read, which I'd say, yeah, that's part of it. Some had said remember. Some had written down the word learn and understand. So, and some had said write. Some had said notes. So I wanted to make a particular emphasis of the fact that it wasn't just about reading and writing notes in their book. I actually wanted them to really, really understand this. And this will free us up to do some more programming in lessons so we don't have as much time talking through the theory and all of that. So that was the first part of the lesson. Now, they had to bring in a piece of paper where they'd written their own rock, paper, scissors game on. So I put them back into the pairs that they were in on Monday. And I said to them, right, I want 10 minutes before the end of the lesson, I want you all to have a rock, paper, scissors game that works. Now, some of you got an advantage because you've done your homework and you did rock, paper, scissors last lesson. So that's going to work to your advantage. Those who didn't do the homework and those who did dice or heads, tails last lesson, obviously it's going to be more of a challenge for you. And we'll have a show and tell. Now, what was really nice was some people went off for vastly complicated solutions. So we had one boy in the class. He wrote a rock, paper, scissors game that says, "Hello, what's your name?" So you tell it your name. It says, "I'm going to play against you," and you play against it. So you say, "Which do you choose?" Rock, paper, scissors, so you choose. And then it says, "Ah, I chose this." And then it summarizes it. So it says, "You chose rock, I chose scissors. Therefore, you win, because rock blunts scissors. You score 1 point. First to three is the winner." And then it runs again and again. And this was incredible. Somebody else had done the rock, paper, scissors game that had, I think, five lines in it. It was one of the girls in the class. And when I went over, I said, "Oh, let's have a look at this." She was almost embarrassed about it. So I said, "What's the matter?" Oh, it doesn't quite work. And I felt so sorry, because there was one thing that she'd put in it. And I think it was, she had one variable for the list. And she'd called it list with a lowercase l. And later on, she'd refer to it with a capital L. And it was all in that one thing. And she changed it. And it was actually, in a way, it was a lot neater and tidier than what this boy had done. And it was a lot simpler. But the thing was, she had within minutes, she'd created a solution. And I was trying, so when we had our show and tell later on, I picked the really complicated one. I picked the simple one, but only to demonstrate that they all have their merits for different reasons. So some people had done, like, well, okay, there was lots of different responses to that, which was really nice to have that show and tell at the end and pick out the merit. Somebody had one that didn't work, but they had really, really good use of commenting in there. So it was, I don't know, it really, really felt like a great way to finish the week with that class, all about random and using it in Python. So my plan next is, we don't need to do quite as much theory in the lesson. I'm hoping that's going to give me lots more time that I can focus on getting ready for coursework. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Maybe it's a touch longer than they normally are. If you've got any thoughts, responses to listen to this, I'd love to hear it, because there's nothing worse than, you know, here I am on a Friday afternoon recording this, and it's not necessarily, I'm not looking for somebody to pat me on the back and say, "Alan, this is great what you're doing." I really, you know, open a discussion, send me an email, alan@odonoghue.org.uk. It's a bit of a mouthful, that, so you could look for me on about.me/alanodonoghue, or you could Google it, or tweet me @technoteacher, TEKNO, because I don't know how to spell. Thank you. Bye.